Blessed be God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Almighty God, to you all hearts are open, all desires known, and from you no secrets are hid. Cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name, through Christ our Lord. Amen. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. O God, you make us glad by the yearly festival of the birth of your only Son, Jesus Christ. Grant that we who joyfully receive him as our Redeemer may with sure confidence behold him when he comes to be our judge, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
A reading from the book of Isaiah. How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of the messenger who announces peace, who brings good news, who announces salvation, who says to Zion, "Your God reigns." Listen, your sentinels lift up their voices. Together they sing for joy, for in plain sight they see the return of the Lord to Zion. Break forth together into singing, you ruins of Jerusalem, for the Lord has comforted his people. He has redeemed Jerusalem. The Lord has bared his holy arm before the eyes of all the nations, and all the ends of the earth shall see the salvation of our God. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
A reading from the beginning of the letter to the Hebrews. Long ago, God spoke to our ancestors in many and various ways by the prophets, but in these last days he has spoken to us by a Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, through whom he also created the worlds. He is the reflection of God's glory and the exact imprint of God's very being, and he sustains all things by his powerful word. When he had made purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the Majesty on high, having become as much superior to angels as the name he has inherited is more excellent than theirs. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Thank you. Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to St. John.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through Him, and without Him, not one thing came into being. What has come into being in Him was life, and the life was the light of the world, of all people. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify to the light, so that all might believe through him. He himself was not the light, but he came to testify to the light. The true light, which enlightens everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world came into being through him. Yet the world did not know him. He came to what was his own, and his own people did not accept him. But to all who received him, who believed in his name, he gave power to become children of God, who were born not of blood or of the will of the of flesh or of will of man, but of God. And the world became flesh and lived among us. And we have seen his glory, the glory as of a Father's only Son, full of grace and truth. The Gospel of the Lord.
In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. This prologue to the Gospel of John is a Christmas story unlike the one we're familiar with. In our experience, the story of Christ's birth is a story of the Holy Family's search for safety and comfort. We know the story of the angel announcing to Mary that she would conceive a child by the power of the Most High. We know the story of an angel coming to Joseph in a dream and assuring him that the child Mary carried was of God, and that he, Joseph, had been entrusted to keep that child safe. We've heard all our lives the story of Joseph and Mary returning to Joseph's hometown in order to be counted for Roman tax purposes. How the pregnant Mary and Christ's foster father were forced to take shelter in a stable. How the angels appeared to shepherds to announce the birth of the Savior and the coming of the three Gentile wise men or kings. We know the story of Herod, who terrorized the mothers of Bethlehem in his bid to ensure his position of power, and the story of the Holy Family fleeing into Egypt to avoid that wrath. Matthew and Luke tell us these details of the life and time surrounding the Holy Family at Christ's birth. They give us what we as men and women want to know about Jesus' birth and his early days. Even now, 2,000 years later, one of the first things we ask new people when we meet them is, "Where do you come from? Where did you grow up? Where's your family from?" It's a deep-rooted part of our nature that we need to know about origins, ours and other people's. That's the question that Matthew and Luke are answering in their recounting of the shepherds, angels, dreams, the stable, and the manger. John, however, is answering a completely different question. For John, the real truth of Christ's birth lies not in the earthly details of Joseph and Mary's search for a place to sleep, an eventual flight into Egypt. The real truth lies in the spiritual reality of who Christ is and where he came from. John's Christmas story highlights the heart of the Christmas story. The good news that God's amazing love for us is expressed in the birth of Mary's son. We've come to call this time of the year Christmas from calling it Christ's Mass. But the church, all through its history and even today, calls this most important day the Feast of the Incarnation. It's the mystery of that incarnation that John expressed in these words. And the Word became flesh and lived among us. And we have seen his glory, the glory as of the Father's only Son, full of grace and truth. The Word became flesh. The Word, or in Greek, the Logos, was a term used in the ancient philosophies of Plato and the Stoics, but John's use of the term is probably more influenced by Jewish and early Christian understandings. The Jewish historian and writer Plato, who was probably a contemporary of John the Evangelist, used Logos to refer to the generative or creative force of God. But the fourth gospel says that the Word lived in community with God and at the same time was God. The Word was eternal, existing from the beginning of time. The Word was the very creative essence of God through whom all things were made. The Word was the source of light, that is, of goodness and truth, and of life at every level. The Word became flesh. The Word became flesh. What an amazing thing. If you really try to think about it, it's impossible to wrap your mind around. It's that not being able to understand the things of God that we call a divine mystery. We call it the incarnation, but incarnation is really too limited a term to encapsulate such a mystery. Incarnation means like putting on a body, like you put on your clothes in the morning, but the Word became flesh means that the Word took on our entire human nature. The Word became one of us, except for sin, totally human. In that child born in Bethlehem, nothing human was lacking. He had a body just like ours. He had a mind like ours. He had emotions like ours. At his birth, he was a real baby, totally dependent on his parents. He became a real child who had to learn how to read and write and walk and talk. He went through puberty just like we do. He turned from a boy into a man. And he learned the trade of carpentry probably from Joseph and only honed his skills through hard work and practice. Jesus was one of us, a human being. The Word became flesh. Both sides of this statement of one of the central mysteries of our faith are important, and we need to hold tightly to both of them. The Son of God became a human being and lived a human life among other humans. That's the first part of the Christmas story, the part that gets the attention this time of the year, and it's really, really important. Sometimes, though, we try to separate God from the hustle and bustle of human life, as if God had nothing to do with the messiness of life as we know it. But the incarnation shows us, it proves to us that we can't do that. Because God came into our world as one of us, and nothing earthly or human is beyond his experience. There's also a second part to John's Christmas story. We have seen God's glory. That's what John tells us. But what does John mean by that? Is he talking about some special, unseen, unique part of Jesus' life and ministry? I don't think so. I think that the glory of God was revealed in Jesus' life, in his walking among his fellow human beings. His disciples, who knew him best, were closest to him, saw that he was full of grace and truth. Jesus reflected and radiated the unconditional love of God. He loved the Pharisee and the tax collector, the Jew and the Samaritan, the lovely and the unlovely, the sinner and the righteous. His love was never a reaction to the love of others. He reached out even to those who hated him. He displayed God's grace. He offered acceptance and salvation to Zacchaeus, who was an outcast tax collector. And he challenged that rich young man to escape the slavery of his riches. Jesus' lament over Jerusalem when he cried, "Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how often have I desired to gather your children together as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, and you were not willing." That was a plaintive expression of God's love and grace. Even his words to Judas at the moment when Judas betrayed him, he said, "Judas, is it with a kiss that you are betraying the Son of Man?" Even that expressed deep love and concern for Judas. Jesus expressed the absolute faithfulness of God. And faithfulness is central to the Hebrew idea of truth. You could depend on Jesus. You could depend on Jesus to satisfy needs, to feed the hungry, heal the sick, bless the children, to cast out demons, raise the dead, and to break the chains of sin. Jesus was utterly dependable. He reflected the righteousness, justice, wisdom, and truth of God the Father. When the disciples saw Jesus in action, they saw God with a human face. So in this Christmas season, we need to be open to the continued work of God in Jesus Christ. For the Christmas story does not end in Bethlehem, it goes on. It includes the death and resurrection of Jesus. It includes everything that made Jesus the one who would save people from their sins. It includes the fact that Jesus is still alive with God, that Jesus is still active, that Jesus is still reflecting the grace and truth of God to those who are willing to receive it. We're here today because we believe that God is still working through Jesus Christ, right? We're here because we believe that Jesus Christ can satisfy the needs in our lives and in our world. Even if you have doubts about Jesus and about Christianity, being here today says that you haven't closed your mind to the possibility that God is still working through Christ. God works through Jesus Christ, but Jesus Christ works through us. That's why we celebrate the Holy Eucharist, the communion. In the Eucharist, Jesus comes to us, Jesus meets with us, Jesus feeds us with his grace. The Eucharist is an extension of the mystery of the Incarnation. It's an extension of Christ coming to us in humble and earthly form. As we receive the consecrated bread and wine, we confess that Jesus is alive, that he's still with us, that he makes it possible to live as he lived. When we strive to live as Jesus lived, reflecting the unconditional love and the incredible faithfulness of God, then Christmas will truly continue here in our world and in our lives. And Emmanuel, God with us, will become our everyday reality. And the Word became flesh and lived among us. Thanks be to God for the mystery of the Incarnation, the joining of humanity, and the grace and truth of God. Let us stand and affirm our faith in the words of the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven. By the power of the Holy Spirit, he became incarnate from the Virgin Mary and was made man. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again, in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son. With the Father and the Son, he is worshiped and glorified. He has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Catholic and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
The prayers of the people are found on page 5 of your bulletin. I ask your prayers for God's people throughout the world. We pray especially for the people of the Middle East. We pray for the church in Jerusalem. Pray for peace. I ask your prayers for the poor, the sick, the hungry, the oppressed, and those in prison. Pray for those in any need or trouble. I ask your prayers for all who seek God or a deeper knowledge of him. Pray that they may find and be found by him. I ask your prayers for the departed, especially for Betty Drake and George Keyes. Pray for those who have died. Praise God for those in every generation in whom Christ has been honored. Pray that we may have grace to glorify Christ in our own day.
Almighty and eternal God, ruler of all things in heaven and earth, mercifully accept the prayers of your people and strengthen us to do your will. Through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
My brothers and sisters, may the peace of the Lord be always with you. Merry Christmas. I want to welcome you all here this morning. If this is your first time with us, if you're visiting, you are very welcome, and we are very excited to have you here. If you look at the inside of the very last page of your bulletin, at the very bottom, you'll find notices about when our regular Sunday services are. So all of the information that you'll need for that is there. If you have nothing to do, come and celebrate New Year's with us. What a better way to start the new year than with some reading of Scripture and some wonderful singing. We have a festival of 9 lessons and carols that starts at 5 o'clock on Wednesday, December 31st. Now walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God.
Thank you.
lift up your hearts.
We lift up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give thanks and praise.
It is right and a good and joyful thing, always and everywhere, to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth, because you gave Jesus Christ, your only Son, to be born for us, who by the mighty power of the Holy Spirit was made perfect man of the flesh of the Virgin Mary, his mother, so that we might be delivered from the bondage of sin and receive power to become your children. Therefore we praise you, joining our voices with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, who forever sing this hymn to proclaim the glory of your name. We give thanks to you, O God, for the goodness and love which you have made known to us in creation, in the calling of Israel to be your people, in your word spoken through the prophets, and above all in the word made flesh, Jesus, your Son. For in these last days you sent him to be incarnate from the Virgin Mary, to be the Savior and Redeemer of the world. In him you have delivered us from evil, and made us worthy to stand before you. In him you have brought us out of error into truth, out of sin into righteousness, out of death into life. On the night before he died for us, our Lord Jesus Christ took bread, and when he had given thanks to you, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." After supper, he took the cup of wine, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them and said, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Whenever you drink it, do this for the remembrance of me." Therefore, according to his command, O Father,
we remember his death, we proclaim his resurrection, we await his coming in glory.
And we offer our sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving to you, O Lord of all, presenting to you from your creation this bread and this wine. We pray you, gracious God, to send your Holy Spirit upon these gifts, that they may be the sacrament of the body of Christ and his blood of the new covenant. Unite us to your Son in his sacrifice, that we may be acceptable through him, being sanctified by the Holy Spirit. In the fullness of time, put all things in subjection under your Christ, and bring us to that heavenly country, where with the Blessed Virgin Mary, Saint John, and all your saints, we may enter the everlasting heritage of your sons and daughters. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, the firstborn of all creation, the head of the church, and the author of our salvation. By him, and with him, and in him, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever.
Amen.
And now, as our Savior Christ has taught us, we are bold to say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. The gifts of God for the people of God.
Thank you.
Let us pray. Eternal God, Heavenly Father, you have graciously accepted us as living members of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, and you have fed us with spiritual food in the sacrament of his body and blood. Send us now into the world in peace, and grant us strength and courage to love and serve you with gladness and singleness of heart, through Christ our Lord.
Amen.
May God, who in the Word made flesh joined heaven to earth and earth to heaven, give you his peace and favor. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with you and remain with you always.
Amen.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, let us bless the Lord.